This edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast, presented by Carmichael Funeral Homes and Cremation Services in Smyrna and Marietta, celebrating memories you always cherish.
This is Amy Cargas, co-host of the MDJ podcast. Make sure you subscribe and join Darren Sutherland and me every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for hyper-local news and information about Marietta, Cobb, and surrounding areas. Tell your friends and never miss an episode of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. I'll be back a little later in the podcast with this week's business spotlight, but first, here's Katie Ruth Camp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. This is Katie Ruth Camp, editor of Cobb Life magazine, and I'm thrilled today to have Raul Thomas in studio with us. Raul is the operations manager and owner of Marietta's new theater in the square. Welcome, Raul.
Well, good morning, and well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a crazy time to own a theater right now, right?
Boy, has it.
That's the understatement of the year,
right? That's to say the least, yes. It's been some real trying times, but some real innovative times as well.
Can you kind of talk about what you guys have done during the coronavirus? And obviously because theaters require a lot of people in a space together, which right now is very difficult to do. So you're having to get creative to find some solutions to continue to serve the community. Correct.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, we closed our doors on March 21st after talking with the Department of Health here in Cobb and decided it was a proper thing. So we were some of the first people to close down. And at that point, we definitely went into recon mode and tried to figure out what do we do to sustain the theater and how do we get creative. Having the amazing artistic director and son of mine, Emil Thomas, we had already had a plan that had been in motion for maybe a year prior.
Right.
He had always envisioned on trying to get millennials and people to start watching video theater.
Okay.
And bringing theater in through the camera. Me owning a production company as well, Rec Squad Atlanta. We tried to blend both of them together, and we were trying to figure out how do we get younger people to actually start watching theater because we couldn't get them into the theater. Most of our audience is either elder or urban, and we really weren't getting that age group of 20s to 35s. It was more 35s and up. So we already had a plan. We kind of were already talking about getting that going. So when coronavirus hit and we got shut down, we kind of went, turned the switch on. We already had that. We already had the streaming platform. We had like, you know, we already had shows that we had been recording for maybe 4 or 5 years as we had been in the theater. I had been archiving them and I had been putting them away. And then we started to realize the challenges that that would bring. Some new pieces, if they were owned by us or if they were owned by people that playwrighted them themselves, were easy to get ahead and put on streaming. But those things like In the Heights and things like, you know, other shows.
A lot of red tape.
We couldn't, exactly. We couldn't get the rights to do those. So we started to stream. Big attention in the beginning because everybody was looking for something to do. Everybody was really, really eager to see what the theater could do, how we can bring theater still to the stage, and to the homes through the stage, and it became really fun. We've had to remove some seats. We put cameras all over the theater, and then we started to wait it out. Obviously, we got shut down for a while, and that gave us the opportunity to really plan on what was going on. Fast forward till today, we've been streaming. We've been streaming shows. Not only that, but Emil actually was probably one of the first in the nation to stream his a world premiere of his own show through streaming. So he had written a play called Partners, and we world premiered it instead of on our own stage. We world premiered it through a stream, which was very successful, very, very good. It worked out really, really well. But just like everything else, as times are changing and things are going a different way, the attention is not the same anymore. More people are getting out. More people are starting to get back to work. Things are happening. And that attention is not there. Us still closed in the theater is where the dangerous part is.
So you mentioned y'all removed some seats and that sort of thing. Is this something you're planning to be prepared for a long time?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we don't see theater coming back to life for a while. It's just really? A reality. It's just a reality. And if you follow what's happening with Broadway, if you see what's happening with the Lyric Theater and mm-hmm. the Strand Theater and Out of Box and, mm-hmm. and all of our local theaters,
right.
I mean, we're all eager to go back to work. And
sure.
We're all ready to go back to work. And trust us, our pockets are really hurting to
yeah.
go back to work. But it's gaining the confidence of the audience. It's getting the confidence of your patrons and yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
no one wants to get sick. No
mm-hmm.
one wants to put themselves out there in that situation.
Sure.
So we actually have done one show since March 23rd. And it was terrifying. when they put the 50-person restriction, we were able to get 50 people into the theater.
Uh-huh.
And it was 50 actors and singers and dancers. And really just the film team, the light guy,
mm-hmm.
the sound guy, Emil directing it, and me staying at home doing it from the computer, staying away from all of it. And it was still very terrifying because you can tell that people are not used to social distancing.
Yeah.
People are not used to wearing masks. People are either resentful to it or just it's not a normal thing.
Sure.
And because it's not a normal thing that we practice, people not necessarily are – doing it the right way, and which cause a lot of concern.
Yeah, well, and it's also not the normal thing, I'm sure, to perform to an empty audience and have cameras around, but it's a different type of energy, I'm sure, right?
Not it is.
Having
it definitely
the audience
is.
To feed off of.
Yeah, so you know, so it's funny you say that because when we did Partners, Emil will attest to the fact that he was terrified of the fact that it was a world premiere and didn't know how people were receiving it.
Yeah,
because there's no audience.
You don't know. Yeah,
you have no audience. So because you have no audience, he really didn't know how they were going to receive it. Right.
Right.
So what they did was, and it was a really good thing, is right after that, they did and it was live. Every show was live. We filmed every single show
mm-hmm.
live. So after we filmed it, we would jump onto Instagram and we would do a talk back.
Gotcha.
And then that talk back, we were able to get the feedback.
Get
hey,
feedback.
We loved it. Hey, why did you guys do that? The sound was great. This was going on. That
uh-huh.
was happening. And that's how he was able to feed that energy
mm-hmm.
and gave the actors that little bit of boost of saying, hey, we're doing something great. This is awesome. People are accepting it. People love
sure.
it, right? But then now we get into that thing. Okay, so what's the next show?
Uh-huh.
So what can we do? We have this in archive. Can we show it? No. We have this on archive. Can we show it? No.
Right.
So what we have developed is a platform where we're inviting new playwrights to come in and actually do their work. We record it. They actually can sell it on stream. And then they have a recording of their work.
Right.
And because it's new playwrights, they own the rights to it.
Right.
Right. So it's working in a sense.
Uh-huh.
But then because of the economy is so tight, a lot of people are, you know, kind of it's really become a hard thing.
Yeah.
So hard that I've actually gone back to work. I actually you know, I'm a chef by trade.
Uh-huh.
And 35 years in the food business. I opened the very first Puerto Rican restaurant here in Georgia, and I'm back in the food business. I opened up a food truck
okay.
and I'm doing deliveries to homes and
yeah.
and we're just trying to find ways of sustaining the theater, you
sure.
know. Trying to do some drives, trying to get some people, you know, some people have been very generous and have donated,
mm-hmm.
but we're constantly, you know, finding ourselves in a position where how do we sustain?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's getting hard. It's been 6 months now.
Well, and I think so many people have the misperception that nonprofit theaters like yours just survive off of ticket sales.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not non-for-profit.
Oh, okay.
My theater is not a non-for-profit.
Okay.
I'm one of the few for-profit with a non-for-profit theater group.
Oh, okay. I knew there was a nonprofit
right,
element
right.
to your
so
theater.
So Emil has the nonprofit element, which is Actors Theater of Georgia.
Uh-huh.
But Marietta's New Theater in the Square is for-profit.
Okay.
So it's made it even harder.
Yeah.
So if you think that non-for-profits are having it bad, boy, we're having
yeah.
it even worse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, streaming things and doing things digitally, obviously that kind of seems like it's going to be a new normal for a lot of theaters and a lot of groups. I mean, even, you know, with Hamilton being filmed and put on Disney Plus, that was a huge thing because it's getting theater out to people that might not normally go to an actual theater or, especially in the Hamilton case, be able to afford a ticket to the show.
You're not kidding. Absolutely. You know, Hamilton was actually, it was a plus for us. Uh-huh. We actually watched it at home. We did it in the backyard. We had a couple of people over. We social distanced in our backyard, and we put it on a big screen, and we did a backyard party out of it, right? But what we got out of it was that we were able to introduce to people exactly what we're trying to do locally, right? We're hoping that all the other theaters grab onto that and that we can collaborate with that and actually start doing it. Because if you really think about it, from what they're saying and what we're hearing from others, it'll probably be late 2021, maybe middle of the end of 21 before people actually can get a full house back together and the confidence of that. How many theaters can sustain that long? How many people will be able to last that long? I mean, we're still paying rent. We're still paying, you know, we're still paying our bills. We still got to have the things out there. So we really got to get innovative. And, you know, it's funny because we always talk about reinventing ourselves. I'm that big guy that says, hey, we got to invent ourselves. Boy, I've been reinventing a lot.
You weren't quite expecting this amount of reinventing, right?
Absolutely not. Not 6 months of, you know, you think about a rainy day, but boy, it's been pouring for 6 months.
Well, and even, you know, think back to March, April, everyone was saying, well, by the fall, everything will be back to normal. The virus will die off in the summer. This is just, you know, a month or two, and then we'll be back. And man, 6 months later, now people are looking a year out.
Yeah, so that's definitely right, Kate. If you look at it and you think, right, we thought that we would be back in 60 days. We figured, hey, this will be done in 60 days. Let's go.
Everybody quarantine.
We closed first. Yeah. They say, hey, we're the first ones to close. You know, the Strand and I closed immediately. We said, hey, we got to do the right thing. Boy, if we would have known that this was going to last as long as it's lasting and it's going to take that much longer, we probably would have revisited it a different way. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, the community really is good. And we're blessed to be in a community of Marietta where people actually care. They've reached out. They've cared. Our season ticket holders have been more than patient. They've understood the situation. They haven't wanted to put themselves in precarious ways where they felt like they were jeopardizing themselves to see a show.
Right.
So we have tried to give them back as much as possible. We're now going to be putting back on the stage through streaming Motown, which was one of our biggest sellers last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to be putting Motown for Hispanic Heritage Month. We're going to be doing Cuatro Mujeres, which is four women, which we did 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we'll be streaming that. And then we're coming out with Parma Williams Jr. from the Tyler Perry Show. He's going to be putting out and streaming one of his shows. Mm-hmm. So we have some plans. It's up to the community to get on, buy a ticket, and help us sustain.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of your programming, you guys are a lot different than a lot of the other theaters because you really try to spotlight people of different races, different religions, different sexual orientations. You have a very diverse group of programming and actors and the things that you put out. Is that kind of the mission of the theater to you guys? Or
it is, and in the sense, as you know, I'm Puerto Rican.
Uh-huh.
And as an Afro-Latino, we feel that we don't lean to any culture other than being multicultural. And Emil, through his eyes and the way he does things, he likes to be able to touch a little bit of everything.
Sure.
And he likes to be able to give everybody a good mix. Mm-hmm. Growing up in New York, obviously Broadway, you have that multicultural mix. Mm-hmm. And we kind of brought that here.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning of the year, we were doing record-breaking things. We partnered up with the Gone with the Wind Museum. We did an amazing show with them. We did, you know, then right after that, we had another amazing show. And we keep our program very multicultural so that we're not leaning towards anybody, any one in specific.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really works well. But we are urban. Mm-hmm. And we consider ourselves an urban theater where we can actually put on some groovy stuff, you know, like you said, you know, in the Heights and things of that sort. So we have fun with it. And we feel like we're bringing that Broadway element to the stage.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, we try to represent every culture, every creed.
Yeah.
With no bias whatsoever.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You've mentioned Emil a couple of times. What is it like working father and son in the same building?
It depends on when we go home or when we're at the theater. No, actually, You know, we have a good working relationship. We have a really, really good working relationship. As long as I stay out of the theater part and he stays out of the business part. When I start to add my two cents to the theater part, it could get a little hairy, right?
Yeah.
And as well as when he tries to get into the financial part, it could get a little hairy, right? But no, we really blend well. He's an amazing young man. He's done some amazing things. He's a graduate of Pebble Brook High School. Uh-huh. And he went through the whole program and then he graduated from Ball State University and is now getting his master's at DePaul.
Oh, wonderful.
So you know, I couldn't be prouder as a dad to have gifted my son a theater, but I couldn't even be more prouder to have him as a partner because he's so, so talented.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He really, really has an eye for what we do. He really has a vision, which I'm the older guy, so I don't have that same vision. So it kind of bounces off really good,
yeah,
right? I want to see you driving Miss Daisy. He wants to do something a lot newer. So
how do we compromise on this?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after this.
During difficult times, it can help to talk to a friend or neighbor. But once in a while, you need a lawyer. You need Atlanta's caring lawyers, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. If you're considering ending your marriage, struggling with a stressful job situation, dealing with a devastating personal injury, or facing end-of-life issues, the team at Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen is here for you. The Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen team has been serving Marietta and Metro Atlanta since 1972. They believe that getting the best possible outcome for their clients begins with energetic and dedicated preparation. From starting a new business to planning an estate, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen have the experience to guide you through some of life's most challenging legal issues. So, the next time you need a cup of sugar or a ride to work, go ahead and call your next-door neighbor. But for the important life issues, turn to the experts, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. To schedule an information session or case evaluation session, call 770-528-0150. That's 770-528-0150. Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen, Atlanta's caring lawyers.
Okay, we are back with Raul Thomas. He is the operations manager and owner of Marietta's new theater in the square. So, Raul, take us back to 2015 when you guys purchased the rights to the theater and started doing your thing.
Yeah, you know, that's a story. You have 5 hours. You know, when we first got the theater, as I had said earlier, Emil was at Ball State University.
Mm-hmm. And what was he getting his degree in?
And he was in directing.
Okay.
And the only way I would pay for it is if he got a minor in business. And he did both.
Daddy's looking out, right?
So he did both. And I actually went to go see the theater without talking to him about it.
Okay.
I actually walked into the theater and thought about doing a dinner theater as a chef. I thought it would be a great opportunity to have something different.
Yeah.
Something similar to the AMC kind of thing, the Cine Bistro. I thought it would be really, really cool.
How did you know it was open? Had you ever gone to Theater in the Square when it was there before?
Emil brought me to that theater 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we actually seen a play in the back. Oh, not on the main stage, but in the back. And we knew about the theater.
In the little black box.
In the black box here, mm-hmm. where the Lyric is now. Mm-hmm. And I seen a play there. And we've been here for 20 years. And he took us there. But that place had been closed, and I had driven by it so many times. And it was just so dreary to see such a great place closed.
I know.
So I started to venture out and take a look at it, got together with the Goldsteins, and it just wasn't feasible. But the funny thing was, 6 months later, I got a phone call from somebody while I was actually doing a catering. Mm-hmm. And it was told that they had taken over that theater and would like for me to put some food in there. Well, I went in and there were some people trying to put the theater together. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out for them. Mm-hmm. I ended up loaning some money to the theater, and I ended up becoming the new owner of the theater. Called Emil and said, hey, guess what? Dad has a Christmas present for you.
Oh.
And he said, what are you talking about? I says, you remember that theater over there on the square? And he's like, yeah, what did you do, Dad? And I was like, I have the keys for it.
Well, I have it.
and that's kind of the way we got the theater. The conception of the theater was accidental. But I believe that he was able to do it.
What was his reaction when you told him?
He thought I was nuts. He really thought that I was nuts. And I was like, you know what? I consulted with your mother. Your mother thinks it's a great idea. He says, well, Dad, I'm still in school, but I'll call you back.
Uh-huh.
And he went to his teachers, and this was his senior year. And he called his teachers and he told his teachers, my dad just did the craziest thing. He bought us a theater. And they were like, what? And they're like, yeah, he got us a theater and this is what's going on. And they actually allowed him to do his internship at his own place.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he brought back a couple of pieces and he was able to do some online classes back then, he was able to do his internship his last year of college. At the theater.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no better learning experience than...
On-hands experience. Mm-hmm. He brought back 7 kids from the schools, including the valedictorian of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And we housed them for a year. We gave them a contract.
Oh, boy. What was that like?
Oh, that was really, really something else. Because theater is one
never
thing.
A quiet home, huh?
24-hour theater.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a theater kid myself, yeah. So I can imagine 7 of us
absolutely.
In a house together
absolutely.
And in the theater.
And we rented a separate house. They weren't in my house.
Oh, okay.
I rented a separate house. So I housed them for a year as an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So they worked to get their internship that they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them all. And that's how we developed ATG. And that's how Marietta's Theater in the Square came to conception.
Mm-hmm.
We had graduates from Ball State University actually doing the shows.
And so telling all, you like what they wanted to
yes,
see and what they
every
wanted
every single
to do.
Show,
yeah.
They were really innovative. They were in it. They were doing it. It was great. And then we got together with a few other organizations. And then that's where it really, really started to grow.
Mm-hmm.
What really, really helped us and what really pushed us over the top was the stars. Nick Starr and Princess Starr, they have an amazing youth organization, and they joined us as well. And them joining us together, we collaborated together, and then we were really able to do some really great work.
Yeah.
So Emil doing his thing, finishing up school, and we had the stars helping and overseeing us
mm-hmm.
because they've been doing it for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
6 years later, we're going into our 6th year. This is where we're at.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned? Because you didn't own a theater before, right?
Nope. Restaurant business all my life. I've been a chef all my life. So it was really, really crazy kind of switching off. You know what? I think it was the best thing, though. Because I think if I would have looked at it as a theater, the way people look at it as a theater,
uh-huh.
They wouldn't understand the business element of it.
Right.
And it probably would have failed.
Right.
Looking at it the way I looked at it as numbers. I looked at it, what needs to happen? What do we need to do? How are you a good steward of the money? How are you separating personal feelings from business feelings and where we got it through
mm-hmm.
following the business plan, making sure that you are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we were on our way to a record year before coronavirus hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing how we were able to do what we were doing. And people were like, wow, you know, we didn't think you'd last a year, you know? And there was people saying, wow, you lasted 2 years. And we didn't think you'd last 2 years. And there was people saying, wow, you've been here 4 years already. And
yeah.
before you knew it, we were celebrating our 5th year.
Yeah.
And people were like, wow, you guys have just, you've done it. You know, you guys have really done it. And in Marietta.
Yeah.
As an urban theater, you
yeah.
know? So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, it really was, it's really a great feeling to know the success.
Mm-hmm.
It's discerning and it's heartbreaking to know that we are now in a situation that we're in where now we need the community to pitch in, to
right.
donate, to help us sustain because we're not a non-for-profit. We're not getting grants. We're not getting all those extra
mm-hmm.
things that people are getting. And it's, It has its moments.
So what can people do to support the
Well,
theater?
I mean, obviously, you know, donate. Donate to the cause. You know, if you want to see the theater stay around, you want to see it vibe, you still want to see it come back after this horrifying pandemic,
mm-hmm.
you know, we ask you to go to our website, you know, make a donation. Help us save the theater. Help
mm-hmm.
us make sure that we can continue to do the work that we're doing and giving you that extra element other than what the rest of the great Marietta Square
right.
is giving. We bring a completely different element.
Mm-hmm.
We have a completely different program, and I think a lot of people enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may not, but a lot of people do.
Do you have a next streaming show coming
yeah,
up?
Yeah, absolutely. So our next one, as I said, will be Motown.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing Motown, and after Motown, we'll be doing Parma Williams Jr. from the Tyler Perry shows. He
mm-hmm.
played Floyd. In he played Floyd in one of the Tyler Perry shows. I can't think of the name of it right now. And he was there for a very, very long time. He's a talented person. He did Scrooge for us in Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So if people came to see Christmas Carol, they've seen him do Scrooge. And he is premiering one of his shows on the stage as well. So it's a comedy. It's an amazing show. It's funny. I've already seen it a couple of times. And now we're going to stream it and produce it for him through streaming. And then we have a couple of other things that are in the mix. So it's important that you go to the website, kind of keep up with what we're doing. We are still alive. We're still streaming shows. And then, like I said, in October, we'll be putting up Cuatro Mujeres, which is our annual Spanish show, which I demand as a Latino. and we'll be doing probably Cuatro Mujeres and possibly one other show.
And when is the Motown show? Because I know you said
that's coming up this
one.
Month. Now this month coming up.
And how are you doing these? Do you have to pay to watch them as they come on? And
that's
then correct. Like once, technically, like it would be in the theater, once it's over, it's over.
Right. So what happens is you go, that's like you were buying a ticket to go see a regular show. You just go to www.theaterinthesquare.net. And that's theater R-E. In the square.net, and you just purchase through Vendini the show that you want to see. 2 hours prior to the show, you will receive a link, and then you go on through that link and you sit at home and you watch the show.
You can have your glass of wine.
That's exactly right. Don't got to get dressed up. Don't have to put on the
makeup. Lay around in your pajamas. Have
exactly
the dog
right.
sitting in your lap.
That's exactly right. You know, and then at that point, you also have the opportunity to donate. But if you want to donate earlier and you really want to help us sustain, and not just us. I mean, the Lyric Theater's hurting. You know, the Strand is hurting. We have taken it the hardest. The theaters on the square have taken it harder than any other business, harder than the restaurants, and they're closing quickly on the square. But the theaters have really taken the bang.
Well, and the theaters also have done so much for the restaurants and for the rest of the square because, you know, so many times people would go out to dinner before they'd see a show and then go over to a little bar or something and have a drink afterwards.
You know, I'm on the board for Marietta Welcome Committee. And we were just having a meeting just last night. And you know, it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary to hear how we're having to redevelop ourselves, but not only redevelop ourselves, how the community, as much as it's trying to help, still very fearful. And it's justifiably so. I mean, you know, it's out there. It's real. I've lost a few friends. My brother got it in New York. Some local friends have received it. It's not a hoax. It's something that's really, really happening.
Right.
And really, really got to be careful.
Right. Well, we're going to send all of our love and prayers and hope and support to you guys at the theater. And hopefully.
Wear your mask.
Yeah. Cover it up.
That's right.
And hopefully, you know, we'll enjoy all the streaming that you guys have to offer. And hopefully in 2021, we'll be sitting in those seats and clapping and cheering.
Well, I just also want to say, I want to thank you for your years of support. You have been amazing, and I thank you for always thinking of us and for always making sure that people know that we're still around. It
of
really
course.
Means a lot to us.
Yeah, no, well, we're happy to have you in the community. So anything we can do, just let me know.
Awesome.
Thank you, Raul.
Thank you.
Welcome to the first MDJ Podcast Business Spotlight. I'm Amy Cargas. With me is Jim Carmichael of Carmichael's Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta. Thanks for joining me, Jim.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I always like to start the story at the beginning. Where were you born?
At Cobb Hospital in Austell. My wife also was born there, and both of our sons were born there. So we thought that was pretty special.
The whole family was born?
Yeah.
Oh, that is pretty good. How old are your sons?
12 and 11.
Are they excited about getting back to school? Or
I took my eldest to football practice this morning, and I asked him that very question. He said, no, I'm not excited about going to school. I'm excited about playing football. So I said, okay, well, at least, you know, your priorities need to be tweaked a little bit, maybe.
At least he's honest.
Yeah,
he told you the truth.
He was honest. Yeah, sure.
So now, are they going to go to public school or?
No, they go to Whitfield Academy in Smyrna.
Okay.
My wife is a seventh grade teacher there. She teaches English and she is the varsity cheerleading coach there. So it's a great school. We are glad to be there. It just sort of fell in our lap, the opportunity for JT to go in the first grade, and we had an opportunity to sign him up, and we did, and then we were able to get Charlie in there as well. So it's been great, and we're glad to be there.
So now, have you lived in Smyrna your whole life?
Yes, ma'am. I tell my kids all the time, we were born, I was born in a house next door to where we live now. Growing up, we lived upstairs at the funeral home there, and I tell folks that I have lived within 3 miles of that building for about 41 of my 45 years. So,
all right, what did you do the other 4 years?
Well, I was in West Georgia for a couple of years, and then lived at my mother's house for a couple during middle school. So,
okay, see, yeah. So now you went to Cobb School, so
I did. King Springs Elementary and Griffin Middle School and Campbell High School. So,
all right,
yeah.
This is a family business.
Right. Dad started in 1976. He actually started working at Sanders Funeral Home in 1970, and he bought it from Bill Sanders in 1976. So we've been there, nearly 50 years. About 45 years. So.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. All right, you said you lived upstairs from the funeral home.
We did.
So what brought to mind is my girl.
Yep. We didn't have a grandmother that would wander into the services and sing that, but we lived upstairs, and we knew that when there was a service going on, we were to be very, very quiet because folks could hear anything that went on upstairs, downstairs. So it was interesting. We had a spend the night party when our team won the city championship. We were 10 years old, I guess, playing baseball, won the city championship. We had a spend the night party at the upstairs of the funeral home, and all the kids, were laying around watching television, what have you, getting ready to go to bed. And one of the fellas had been on a call that night. It was probably close to midnight, and he knew we were upstairs having a slumber party. And there was a intercom that worked throughout the funeral home, and he thought he was going to be, play a trick on us, and he keyed up the intercom, when he came in from the call, and just in a real deep voice said, "Hello, boys." And there were kids diving over couches and rolling up under stuff. And they didn't quite – I knew who it was and what it was, but everybody else didn't. And they were not expecting that. So, yeah, but other than that, it was a normal house, I guess you'd say, just above a funeral home,
Did you always plan to go into the family business?
I really didn't. Growing up, I loved being outdoors, and thought that at some point I might get into forestry or something along those lines, or working outside. And however, I just always kept coming back to helping Dad on the weekends or helping him, just do this or that or the other. And finally, in about 1997. He came to my brother and I and said, "Listen, if you boys don't want to get into the funeral business, in the late 90s, there were these big corporations going out buying up funeral homes. And they approached Dad, and he said, "Well, if you boys are not going to get into it, then I'm, going to consider selling funeral homes." And at that point, I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I'll come to work with you. And so that's what I did. So spring of 1998, started mortuary school, and here we are. So that's 22 years later. So I'd been at West Georgia for a couple of years, and then, like I say, he had that conversation with us, and I shifted gears immediately, went to sign up for mortuary school, and there we are.
Okay, and then your brother joined the business as
No,
well?
No, he didn't. He wanted a more 9-to-5 job, so he likes his weekends and holidays and that sort of thing. So he's able to pretty well do what he wants to. As far as his schedule, he's an independent contractor for a company that installs GPS and computer systems in big trucks and that sort of thing. So he's able to sort of set his own schedule. We, unfortunately, don't really know our schedule until the day of, or sometimes the minute of.
So it's a challenging career you're in.
It is. There's there is personal time, where you get to spend time with your family. But for the most part, I tell folks it's just really my life. I mean, it really is. It's what I've known ever since I was a kid. And, I've got a minister buddy that I talk with a lot of times. And I don't mean to compare funeral service to actual ministry, but we do get to minister to folks, and we get to help. And that, I think, is, in my opinion, one of the most important parts about it is just being there to help. And that means sometimes when you're supposed to go watch a basketball game, and somebody calls and says, "Hey, my brother just passed away," then that shifts your gears and you go look after that friend of yours. I had that happen to me just last year, my son's basketball game. One of my buddy's brother died unexpectedly, and I just left and went to help. Mm-hmm. So, and that happens a lot. So, I don't mind it. And my wife, thank goodness, she understands. The boys understand too. So again, they're, I hope they're proud of me. You know, I hope they know that when I leave that it's to help somebody, and I hope they understand it, and I hope that makes them proud of me.
So. Well, I'm sure it does. You mentioned changes in the funeral industry. What are some of the ones you've seen in the last 20 years?
And this is, what's so interesting, just in the last 6 months due to the pandemic, we have had to alter a lot about how we have services. You know, right now we're still limited to being able to only allow 50 people into the building at a time, and hopefully that will be relaxed at some point. But again, we've had to have more graveside services. We had to adjust to being able to show live streams of the services in the chapel. Thankfully, a couple of years ago, we decided we wanted to put cameras in the chapel to record services for families. So now when we had to adjust, again, thankfully, all that was already in place, and we just got it synced up with our Facebook page, and now we're able to show services to folks that, again, 10 years ago, that was something that I know there was a company here locally that was going around and charging a very pretty penny to do that, and now you do it on Facebook, and it doesn't cost anything. So it's just, like I say, it changes, the funeral service just changes so much, and there's a whole lot more in the way of cremations and memorial services, more folks wanting to have a celebration of life than a funeral service. Mm-hmm. Funeral service, I think, for a long time, there was a negative connotation in that it was going to be somber and sad, and with more and more folks wanting to have memorial services and, again, having a celebration of life, it's turning more into celebrations. And we built, about 5 years ago, we built a reception center right behind our funeral home in Smyrna, and it is now turning into sort of a hybrid facility in that we're able to have memorial services and luncheons basically at the same time. So it's more or less I don't want to call it a party, but again, a celebration. We had a service a couple of years ago where a lady was a big Jimmy Buffett fan, and we had a Margaritaville-themed reception and memorial service, and we had folks get up and speak, and they had a margarita machine and Mexican food and you know, Corona and what have you. They had a party, and that, again, that's sort of on the extreme side of
right,
it, I guess.
Right.
Again, there's just a lot of things that are different, and it's, like I say, it's changing all the time, and we just have to be able to adapt and adjust.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me for the Cobb Life edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast from your local news source, the Marietta Daily Journal and MDJ Online. Be sure to pick up a copy of this month's Cobb Life magazine and visit us online for more complete details on the stories we've discussed, plus more stories that affect you and the people of Cobb and surrounding areas. Subscribe and share this podcast to get all the latest hyperlocal updates, plus great stories about what makes living in Cobb so special. Or ask Alexa or Google Home to play the Marietta Daily Journal podcast for you. Share your thoughts or questions with us in the comments section or call the MDJ Podcast comment line at 404-997-8655. We might even share your comment on an upcoming episode. The MDJ Podcast is produced by BG Ad Group, Amy Cargas, producer, Jacob Sutherland, director. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
Thank you for listening to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast, brought to you by Carmichael Funeral Homes and Cremation Services in Smyrna and Marietta, celebrating memories you'll always cherish.